Bring yourself back online.
Welcome back to Freeze All Motor Functions, a Westworld podcast that doesn't sound like anything to me and doesn't take itself too seriously. I am Jared Borislow here with Ross Bolin.
I thought my name was Rick Bolton or something like that.
It was Rick Balters, and that's only sometimes.
Well, I appreciate the real name recognition. Thank you, Jared.
Yeah.
Hello.
We're also here, special guest, Connor Moore.
What's up, guys?
You may know Connor from our Twitter account where he is the founder of Connor's Crockpot. Theories.
Crockpot theories, yeah.
He is very active.
I let him stew on low for hours and hours before I put him out on the Twitter.
Yeah, in your brain?
Yeah.
Crack.
Oh, yeah.
We're also here today, not with intern Luke on the producer studio stand, or with producer Micah, who you all hate. We're here with producer Dan, the man who once referred to Maeve as Meave.
What's up, Dan? By that.
Is your microphone on? You should check it.
It is.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He's a good producer, this one.
Mm-hmm.
You stand by calling her Meave.
Dan, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about using ammonia to train dogs?
I think that's cruel and unusual punishment.
That's good. See, people? We brought in somebody with a dog-friendly outlook.
I have a dog. Micah doesn't have a dog.
Is someone pro-ammonia dog training?
There was this whole thing back when we were doing the rewatch of season one. For some reason, Micah was still allowed to speak on a microphone at that time, and he said something about how in order to keep it, you remember the whole Ford and the dog chasing cars thing or whatever it was?
Yeah, yeah.
He said that to train a dog to keep him from chasing cars, you fill a squirt gun with ammonia or something and spray him with it or something. Which, at the time when it was unfolding, I was like, I think he's just, I don't know what he just said. I'm just going to ignore it. But it turned into like this controversy. PETA got involved. Everybody was upset. Deservedly so.
Yeah, people were throwing buckets of red paint everywhere. Yeah. Ross's Lexus. Some of his interior of his car is still
stained.
Yeah,
my 2005, it's got red paint in it.
Damn. And we have one last special guest today. We had Jersey Mike's cater to the office. So we have a ham sandwich on the mic right now. I'm taking a selfie with it.
The problem is it can't talk. I'll talk for it.
Hi, guys. It's great to be here.
What's the name of the guy who fucks ham sandwiches?
Sylvester.
Sylvester is my lover.
I got a sandwich too, but it's not a ham sandwich.
So, Ross, that's a loving relationship then, the ham sandwich and the guy.
It's a what?
It's a loving relationship.
It's mutual. Consensual.
Okay.
Yeah, consensual. Of course.
Yeah, dude.
So we're here today.
Look like that if they weren't trying to get fucked,
for
you know?
Sure.
We're here to do a short podcast. I believe we're already like a fourth of the way into it at this juncture.
Don't you limit us, Jared.
we're coming to you from Grand X Media headquarters in Austin, Texas with a special Friday episode season 2 finale preview.
Wait. Is it really a preview or is it just wild guesses at what the fuck might go down?
It's pretty much that.
It's more of the latter.
Yeah. Because we're not really going to preview too much.
We don't know what happened, so we can't preview.
We're previewing it because we haven't viewed it, and this is a preview podcast.
Okay, yes. Get it. Very literal.
And just to further delay this, hey, Ross, fuck you.
Oh, okay. What?
The Dream Shirts are live and have been for less than one day and are already close to outselling the FAMP shirts.
Okay.
Whoa.
I will admit, I wildly underestimated the market for this nerdy shirt. You people are weirdos. But now I want one. That's the sick part.
Yeah.
The fact that we've sold 17 of them, which is
18
at
now.
At this pace, so much better than the actual Freeze All Motor Function shirt that I feel like I need one. I'll say this. The binary code thing, the letters being made of binary, that's pretty cool. That was a good idea. Props to Schmelzy Mendelssohn or whoever designed this thing. Whatever.
Yeah, it was Schmelzy along with our in-house guy Hayden, both of them together.
Sweet. Yeah, it looks good, man. I have a hard time walking around in a shirt that says data rules everything around me.
Well, yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because I'm still not sure what the joke is.
You were like very integral in its creation.
Yeah, that's probably why I don't get it.
I want a penny war situation going on where people like keep buying one shirt because they wanted to outsell the other one. And so, you know, it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so go to grandxshop.com and whichever shirt you like more, buy it. And let's start the battle. Okay, time to talk. Season 2 finale. Connor, did you watch the trailer?
I watched the trailer.
Ross and I have not seen the trailer.
The trailer is, it's a lot. There's a lot of loops that are going to be closed in this one. They're going to do a good job with it. I think it's going to be long, too. I think it's got to be an hour and a half.
You think so, minimum?
Oh, yeah.
Because Ross and I want you to talk about the trailer in incredibly vague terms for those of us who don't want to know anything about it. Like,
how's he going to do that?
Well, he kind of just did.
Okay. Yeah.
He said he's going to close up a lot of loops. Like, give us your vaguest, poignant take on the trailer.
Don't those things, like, is that an oxymoron? Like, can you really do that?
Vague and poignant? Let's find out.
Maeve's doing things.
So okay. I'm going to ask questions based on the things you say.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Maeve in the trailer?
There was a lot of Maeve.
Wow. Okay. A lot of Maeve. That's encouraging to me. I like this information.
Especially because last time we saw her, she's lying on a table cut open.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you remember the season 2 trailer from the beginning of the whole thing, when she's running with the bulls, that was in the trailer for the finale.
It kind of had to be because we haven't seen that yet.
And that, yeah, that was they said that whole trailer was going to be a part of the show. So that was there. Clementine is doing some other things as well.
Oh,
Clementine's
it's gonna
out.
Be the dune buggy horse thing that we saw.
Yeah,
in the
little clip. Yeah. So there was some of that. Maeve is running from Clementine at some point, or they made it look that way. Ford is in this one as well, speaking with Bernard about some things.
Oh.
Yeah.
But for more Ford, very encouraging. Also, Dr. Ford. Go to Spotify and listen to Dr. Ford by Ramin Djawadi. That is an amazing song.
Okay.
Whoa, my God.
Micah,
unbelievable.
Micah just burst in here.
Unfucking
the loudest way
wow,
possibly
dude.
Could.
You
this
couldn't
is unbelievable.
Be less professional. That was like Kramer entered the room. Unreal. Man, and now he's critiquing Dan, who's actually actively producing the podcast. This is next level shit right here, ladies and gentlemen.
That was so Kramer. It's unbelievable. But he actually like made a point to turn around and then close the door behind him, which Kramer would never do because he's not
Kramer's
a fucking narc.
I miss Kramer.
Yeah. Everybody misses Kramer.
Racist Kramer. Should be noted. Racist.
Yeah. Michael Richards.
But very funny, but racist.
You guys ever see that Nathan For You episode with the...
What is Nathan For You?
It's the funniest... If Westworld is the best show on TV, Nathan For You is the funniest show
on TV. I've had like... No exaggeration. Maybe somewhere around the ballpark of 10 people in the last week alone tell me you have to watch Nathan For You. And I had never even heard of it before. Is it brand new or is this just something that's just now exploding?
They've had three seasons. It got bigger after the second season. It is the... I legitimately think it's the funniest show on TV.
How come people like are all of a sudden just hitting me with this though?
Well, I think more people are finding out about Nathan Fielder because he's the guy who has that tweet where it's like, me with my friends just out of frame having a good time and laughing that like went viral. It's that guy, but it's his TV show he's had for a few years.
Oh, and I missed that one.
It's a viral tweet. You must not be on Twitter very much.
You think that tweet is responsible for me getting told about the show 10 times?
Probably, honestly. I think more people...
Well, anyway, I'm going to check it out. We're a Nathan For You podcast now.
We have to do something after this is all said and done.
No shit, right?
Oh my God, we do.
Maybe take a vacation?
Yeah, maybe.
Mental vacation?
Okay, it's now time to talk predictions. And I'm just going to lay mine out, and I think you guys already are pretty familiar with mine. We will find out that Jock is the wolf, and I will take no other explanations.
Who is the wolf?
Jock.
He thinks Ford's dog is the wolf. Here's the thing about this theory, Jared. Not only is it asinine, it lacks all entertainment value.
This is the only reason I watch the show anymore, is to finally be told. So my theory is this. You know how Jock is in the cradle with Ford?
Mm-hmm.
If he's in the cradle, he's probably manifested in the park in some way.
Why? Why do you think that?
Because you have to be. Ford is by like being inside of whatever host he wants and shit.
Was he before? Mm-hmm. Or only after Bernard visited him? I don't think just because you're in the cradle, you have to be manifested in the park.
He was in the park because he was himself in the park. So that's he's himself in the cradle as well.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
Now
I don't think the wolf
dead.
Has any very much relevance at all.
Jock is the wolf, and also the man in black is the vulture that Akeecha just sees when he's going into the gala before he finds dead Ford on the stage.
You know what I bet the listeners really appreciate is you bringing a new take to this particular episode of the podcast and not just regurgitating one that you said literally yesterday.
I do have more takes. Those are the ones I had to say first because they are my biggest takes.
I'm glad we got that one out of the way.
The man in black dies. He is dead at the end of this episode. I'm calling it.
I'm with that.
Connor?
I don't know, man. There's so much... Death doesn't really mean that much anymore with what's going to happen in the forge.
That's a good point.
But so I think... physically dies?
Yeah. I think everything about him is gone at the end of this episode.
You think he's...
I've got some ideas for that.
His existence is wiped. Mm-hmm. That he's no longer anywhere.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, I don't buy that.
I'm 100% in on... I'd be shocked if his physical self is not dead by the end of this thing. I would not be surprised at all if he exists in some other form, whether it's in another host body or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's fucked, if that old man isn't already a host or a host by the end of this thing, and his he's somehow alive as a human being, I'm out.
I just realized something.
Go on.
No, I'll do it later.
Okay.
Teaser. It's a teaser for my own thoughts.
Keep it. Write it down.
70-year-olds cannot get shot 6 or 7 times and be alive.
That's one of the only things on the show that I wasn't on board with is how many times he got shot and how mobile he still was.
Okay.
He's like the fucking Terminator.
Emily, I believe, healed him up at the rally point. That's my thought. That's why he was able to stand up then. He was clearly getting better, and that's because Emily, while he was passed out, was healing him up, giving him water from that corkscrew.
This isn't Fortnite, dude. You can't just stand there and wrap bandages around your hands and everything gets better.
That's what happened.
He got a stim pack.
This is ridiculous.
What was that, Dan?
He got a stim pack.
That's a Fallout reference.
Oh. Okay. So I mean, they do like Fallout.
We are really doing it here.
Joy and Nolan are big Fallout people, I will say. I think Ford gets... totally erased, and the only times we see him in future episodes is going to be like Dexter dad style, like flashback type deals.
I'm with that.
Because I don't really think I don't want them to milk Ford for the entire run of this show.
Is there a confirmed third season?
Yes.
Actually, now, I had the thought too.
That's what's interesting about this.
It's like they could all just end right now. Like they could, that would be the biggest twist.
But it's been confirmed.
What do you think, okay. I guess you two, I'm asking you two this question. What do you think the odds are that this season wraps up the entire, and I'm, this is so hard to talk about because there's, this season wraps up the entire storyline that we have seen thus far in seasons 1 and 2, and we start with a new, like a clean slate in season 3. What are the odds of that happening?
40%.
Because I think there's a pretty good chance.
I think it's a good chance that we completely leave Westworld for this for season 3 in a way. I mean, it's still there as remnants and flashbacks.
Right.
And then they play it into coming back in season 4 or 5 for some kind of origin story.
Yeah. I could see Dolores being the only survivor of the entire park situation in the real world. And that's where we start next season. I could see that. That's my prediction, I guess.
I just don't think... I think because of Dolores' story arc where she's turning into the villain, that if any main person's going to die, it's going to be her.
Well, but dude, we just had the moment that could turn her back into a more reasonable, non-villainous human.
She just got called out on her shit and got the consequences of her actions like rubbed in her face.
Do you really think, though, that the death of Teddy is enough to make her realize, I'm a terrible person?
Did you see her? She's fucking broke.
In the trailer, she's like spooning his dead body, so she's kind of fucking freaked out.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see that cake, I would do the same thing.
She's tugging on dead... Dude, did you just say... Yeah, Teddy has a wagon. Everybody knows that.
He's fucking dragging that wagon.
Everybody... yeah, you gotta spoon that. Look, it stays warm for a little while, and you gotta get some of that...
Rebus told us that.
He did. He's confirmed it.
Rebus said that, you know, if it's still warm, you should go for it.
You're straight. Those are the rules.
69 degrees. If the body temperature gets below 69 degrees, then you can't do it anymore.
Those are the rules.
Wow. Okay.
We figured that out in season 1 of our podcast.
My concern going forward here is that they don't wrap up enough. Connor seems to think that they will, though, based on the trailer he has seen and I haven't. So that's encouraging to me because I worry that they leave too many cliffhangers and then we really didn't learn all that much this season if they do that. Like, I need closure on a lot of different... Some of the things that I need closure on, I don't even know what they are anymore.
Yeah, I was about to ask you what you need closure on.
I don't even know. I'm so confused at this point.
You've got to have closure on the Man in Black storyline. Somehow, somewhere.
I guess that's the main one. Everything else is kind of up in the air as to what is even going on. You know what I mean? But his, at least I understand like the basic questions of like, is he real? What just happened? And how does this end for him?
Well, Russ, you were saying a lot of stuff about how you were confused about, you know, the sleeping arrangements made by the people who work at Delos.
Right.
And one thing that you said you really wanted to figure out was whether or not they're sleeping on Lisa mattresses inside the Mesa Hub.
Yeah, I need to know if everyone in the Mesa Hub is equipped with a Lisa mattress in their sleep station. That's one of the biggest questions I have about the finale. We need answers.
I mean, in the early Dolores days, she looked well-rested enough that she could have been sleeping on a Lisa mattress in the park.
You know, now that we just organically started talking about Lisa mattresses, let's just go right into the read itself. A quality night's sleep helps you recover from distractions faster, prevents burnout, helps you make better decisions, improves your memory, and overall, you're going to make fewer mistakes in your life. You're going to be like on a loop, like in a flow state, as Dave Ruff says. Just on your loop, but like crushing life. And that's not marketing, that's science. To design a better mattress, Lisa leveraged 30 plus years of experience and hundreds of hours of testing to develop the perfect mattress for hosts, for humans, for dogs, for host dogs like Jock, pretty much for anybody.
No shit, though. My two dogs love my bed so much, and we refer to my bed in my house as the Cloud. It's a Sapira by Lisa. They never want to leave. They love the bed. They don't even want to hang out anymore. They just stay in the bed. The bed's better than anywhere else in the house, so that's where they hang.
That's nice that when you're in bed, because you said you spend half your life in bed.
No, I said I spend roughly 60% of my life touching a Lisa product, whether that's my blanket that I have on my couch or my bed. Or a pillow. I'm depressed.
A lot of people have Lisa mattresses these days because Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 they sell, which is over 26,000 donated thus far. Lisa also plants one tree for every single mattress they sell. You're breathing in Lisa right now.
People helping people.
They're trying to plant a million trees by 2025. Get in on the summer savings Lisa's offering. That's LEESA.com/freeze. You put that into your URL box. You get $130 off. Promo code freeze works too. Lisa.com/freeze. I sleep on one every night. Ross sleeps on one every night. I love it so much. So I think that answers your question, right, Ross?
Yeah, thanks.
And then lastly, I think that the cold storage wetness that we saw in season one with all that water, remember when they go down to cold storage for the first time and there's water everywhere? I think that's going to have something to do with the flood water.
You were wrong.
Damn it. Well, you see, when you don't watch the trailer, you can speculate.
The trailer tells you how that thing gets flooded?
You see some water.
Oh, motherfucker.
But no, it doesn't tell you anything. It's like you do see the Ford though. And Dolores in it.
Okay, so we're going second best takes, and then now it's Ross for the worst takes, and until we have Connor's best takes. So Ross, give us your thoughts.
I already gave my terrible takes.
They're that bad?
Let's see if I have any more. The whole, I guess, does Maeve still care about her daughter at this point?
Oh, I think she does.
Is that something she's... I mean, we have to assume Maeve gets off that table. Does she still go after the daughter?
I believe so. I believe she will, personally.
Okay.
And it could be that whole, like, white buffalo thing we talked about a long time ago where, you know, symbolic buffalo.
From Hot Tub Time Machine?
Yeah, exactly. From Hot Tub Time Machine. It's the same universe.
What, Dan?
I mean, you're saying bad takes. I got a bad take for you.
Oh, man.
This is actually an origin story for Vikings. This is how Floki becomes Floki.
You think Floki starts off by being Carl Strand, the head of operations?
Yeah. And then it just becomes Viking world.
So he just stumbles across it and is like, holy shit, this place is dope.
Floki's a sweet character.
He is. Yeah. No, he just becomes a robot and...
He becomes a robot. Yeah. He transforms into a robot.
No, they take his consciousness.
Are you high? You look a little high.
You do look high. It's Friday.
You're pretty obviously stoned. It's okay.
All right. Connor, you're going to close out this episode with your amazing takes.
All right. So one thing I noticed is that the Man in Black was the first person to actually question his own free will as a human being.
Yeah.
And he was feeling of his arm and feeling things, but I don't think he's going to be a host. But he's the first person to bridge the gap to the similarities between the two, between hosts and people. He was like, what is a person besides an, you know, essentially accumulation of their choices? and were the choices ever mine?
It is like interesting that we see all these hosts questioning like the nature of their reality, but the first time a human is questioning the nature of theirs.
Exactly. And I feel like Maeve takes on the role. I think Ford's done after this season. I think they're done with Anthony Hopkins.
I want him to be, because his character is so good that they can't just draw it out.
No, they have got to end him.
Yeah, they're going to end him, but I think because that's why the story with Maeve becomes really important, is because she ends up taking the archetype of Ford mm-hmm. and Ford's plan into the future seasons. Since he just gave her basically unrestricted access, so complete freedom, he opened the door for her essentially. I think that she's going to use that power to, that's how she's going to free herself, with calling those like halfway finished buffalo to just start fucking shit up. And I cannot wait to see how she kills that doctor dude with the punch face.
Yeah,
that guy, you know, sucks. She's gonna kill
Roland
so bad.
That guy has a 2% chance of surviving the finale. He's donezo.
I want him to die a horrible death.
Oh, it's gonna be glorious.
What's she gonna do? Is he gonna get gored by a buffalo?
I hope so.
That'd be ideal. I think that's best case scenario. A buffalo running straight through a glass pane window. Maybe he gets some of the glass stuck in him too, but then also just takes a horn like straight through the groin or the stomach area would work too, I guess. Yeah. I'd like to see his dick get horned.
I'm 100% on board with that.
A horn
straight to the dick.
Horn to the dick.
And so I think this newfound power is how she's going to eventually get Clementine back onto her side, which I would like to see Clementine come back with some kind of character. Because you can tell she's there when she saw the other person run her narrative. Like, there's something there, and she's such a good character.
You have to think that what happens here is the whole Delos' plan to utilize Clementine against the host backfires entirely.
Yes.
Yeah.
That has to be what happens, right?
And I think Clementine ends up being that daughter role to Maeve. I don't think her daughter's actually ends up being her daughter. I think Clementine was really, really ends up taking on that
and also,
kind of sidekick role for her.
Think about how they put Maeve's code inside of Clementine. Clementine's like her surrogate daughter, just like how Sakura was Akane's surrogate daughter.
And so, they gave you a good framework for how that would look, too.
Mm-hmm.
Are we done with, what's it called? Edo, Japan?
Shogun World?
No,
we're going to see the girl with the dragon tattoo. She's going to come back along with Hector and Armistice.
They're all back in Westworld, I think.
Yeah, right? But I need more. I mean,
in the Mesa Hub.
I'm interested to see if we involve any of these other parks. We've only been introduced to one other one, Shogun World.
And Raj World.
No. Oh, yeah, and Raj World. We got three out of the, six, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
At least that we know about. And so there's at least three more that we don't have any idea what they are. That's kind of the beauty of this show, is they can run with it any direction they want. They got to wrap up what we've seen so far in this next episode, I think. Entirely would be ideal.
You know that the new Jurassic World movie is coming out. What a tie-in that would be.
It actually came out last night.
Well, there we go. See? Boom. Think about it. Because, you know, Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park.
Is it Crichton? I've always said Crichton.
It's Crichton, I believe. I say Crichton.
I apologize for the disrespect there.
Yeah.
Chief.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Whenever they think about getting back to the real world, like, they're on an island. So they're going to have to fly or take a boat or something. There's going to be some kind of transportation needs there.
I have a really dumb anecdote. I saw Jurassic World when I was studying abroad in Costa Rica. And what happens in that movie is that these kids leave Madison, Wisconsin, which is where I left, and go to Costa Rica, which is where I was. It was very trippy. I thought it was kind of about my life at that point.
Maybe it was.
That's what I'm thinking.
What?
All right, guys. This take, though, is where things get fun.
Dan, hit the famp horn.
Famp, 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 famp.
Thank you. The Entourage famp horn.
What?
So I look at this and I said, all right, so the cradle is running narratives from the park, right? So essentially everybody's on a perfect loop and they can test things in the cradle, which gives us a good idea of like what goes on inside of those big servers. And they're also cooled by water, by the way. The whole thing was. Right? So I think when you take about and apply it to all the guest information, all the guest data for the whole park and the Forge, they're not running narratives, though. If they're people's personalities just existing in this make-believe virtual reality world, then they're not running narratives. And it's massive. It's bigger than it's much bigger than the cradle was.
Yeah, you can see that.
So I think that inside the Forge is turning almost into like a dystopia where people are at odds with each other because it's measuring this data of their crazy ass experiences in Westworld or any of the parks. And I also think that Logan will reappear inside of the Forge.
Oh, that'd be tight.
To try and destroy it. I think he's going to be a play a vital part in destroying the Forge because he saw through the Man in Black's bullshit. Now,
will he be addicted to futuristic heroin still?
Well, he's literally dead, so I think he's probably learned his lesson in the Forge.
I'm just saying you could he could be a functioning addict in the Forge.
Yeah.
Maybe he kills the Man in Black, which would be amazing.
I think death is too easy for the Man in Black. I don't think that's how he goes out.
He's just a vital character, too. He's got to have some kind of influence on the future of the show.
Yeah, I would think so. That's a great point. I would be upset if his whole storyline and his character does not have a profound influence on where we go from here. Because what was the point of the whole thing kind of... He is the main character. Like, at the end of the day, he is.
Well, William is the main character.
And if his whole storyline doesn't wrap up in a way that influences everything going forward... It's kind of a waste, right?
Yeah. Nah. I think so. I mean, and also with the formation of the cradle, with the Forge. And also, if you look at the screen, whenever she saw his profile, it was lit up red, and he had a couple of really intense, delusional tendencies and persecutory effects or something like that, which I think what happened was that he may have not been accepted into the Valley because of his delusional tendencies. He's a fucking crazy person.
Yeah.
And they figured that out. And that was his earlier in the season. He talked about his judgment. I think that may have been his judgment. He's trying to get into what he created. And I think Logan's going to do whatever the fuck he can to keep him out of it. Because if you look at Logan's character, it's really similar to the Red Viper in Game of Thrones. And
well, that doesn't bode well for Logan.
Well, no, because the Red Viper had the most gnarly and intense an impactful death.
Yeah, for sure. He was the coolest character that show's ever had.
And he created a war. It created one of the most intense characters now in the mountain being what he is. It's like, I think that he deserves, he's going to go out. I don't think he's going to be in the show going forward, but I think he deserves more than he OD'd, passover. Oh, yeah. Right. You know what I mean?
We knew that all season long.
He has to have some kind of big exit, and I think it is ending... the Man in Black.
I thought we were going to get that earlier in the season when he gets found out by the tree by Akachetta. He's he's gone delusional because of the sun. And we didn't. I thought that's when we were going to get, okay, here's where Logan's big moment. It's not just going to... Because brushing him under the rug with oh yeah, he overdosed, that was trash. That can't be the end of that character. He's too important. So
he was too good of a character, too.
I think... I hope you're right. I hope we get some more of him. And then he has a bigger influence.
Wow.
And I also don't think Emily's dead either. Whether he didn't, she's not. I mean, if her dad can get shot 7 times, she can get shot twice. It's fine. I don't know. Maybe she was a host version of herself.
Put on Twitter. There's no fucking way that girl's dead, man.
There's no way that he killed his daughter. Yeah.
I am 100% sure that she's not dead.
Katja Herber is friend of the show.
Is she?
Interacted with us on Twitter.
Damn it.
Yeah. All you have to do is acknowledge our existence and you become a friend. Apparently.
That's how we
classify friends.
Andy Dick liked one of my tweets the other day.
Hell yeah.
You are friends.
We referenced Andy Dick recently on the pod.
Chris Bosch. Right. Dude, Chris Bosch and his wife liked one of my tweets. I am basically one of the Bosch. I'm a Bosch now.
Well, yeah. Dude. This is because he recognized you as the insane person
who stood up and just stuck his hand in the air.
Tell a story right now for people who haven't
I was at a business and I saw Chris Bosch walk out and I choked. And my reaction was, we were literally, it's me, Chris Bosch, and two other people in the room. And I stood up and just kind of raised my hand, in acknowledgement, and that was it.
He just kept walking.
He was like, okay.
Why did you stand up and why did you raise your hand?
I panicked, man. NBA stars are the one celebrities that I think, outside of A-list movie actors, actresses, that I can't handle it. I get too starstruck. The same thing happened when I saw Dwight Howard.
Chris Bosch, though?
Dude, Chris Bosch, come on. He was a perennial all-star, multiple-time NBA champion. Chris Bosch is special enough to me to where I was like, oh, yeah. That's the noise I made.
Okay. And then, yeah, it's no wonder why he did not acknowledge.
And then he was like, all right, I got to like this crazy guy's tweet so that he doesn't come try to find me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which actually backfired because now I might try to find him.
Those choices aren't really yours, though. It's fine.
You're right. That's true. None of this is really up to me anyway.
Connor, does that conclude your takes?
The Forge's cooling water is what floods the valley.
Yeah, that
pretty straightforward.
From after you said that to me, I was like, "That's got to be it."
Yeah, and they noted that you can just see that the whole cradle is full of water.
So, does it flood the valley as a result of somebody damaging the Forge and getting that water to pour out?
Yeah, I think that kind of situation? Something like that, yeah. Okay. Hopefully Logan, because Logan's going to save the day.
Mm. I love a good dam breaking.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have little Timmy in Netherlands sticking his finger in it to prevent it, right?
Yeah. I'm curious what's going to happen to Bernard.
All right,
Peter. Do you have anybody, like Bernard?
Yeah, a lot of people are going back to what we said a long time ago, that Teddy's control unit is in Bernard's beach body.
Oh, my God.
The beach That's body. The I wish I made that joke earlier. Theory.
That is so bad. No.
We should do a wrap-up episode just destroying people's theories after the season's over.
We talked about that. All the crackpot theories, confirming or denying whether they actually happened. It's a lot of denying.
It's a lot of just like wild. A lot of denying. Yeah, there's been some pretty bad ones out there.
All right. Rowdygentleman.com. Go there. Go to the sales section and get $5 articles of clothing. It's actually even cheaper if you use promo code FREEZE. Boom. Connor, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Connor, where can we follow you on social media and podcasting?
Yeah, so you can find me on The Realness on iTunes and anywhere else the podcast can be found.
The Realness.
The Realness.
Sick.
And this next episode coming up on Thursday is with intern Serena talking Boom. About free will. So if you want to scratch your free will itch, we'll be having that coming to you guys soon.
That sounds bad.
So go mash subscribe and then get ready for that fresh pod coming out on Thursday.
What do they subscribe to?
The Realness on iTunes or wherever you find podcasts.
Free Will Space.
Free Will by Sam Harris. Which Real. We drop some Westworld knowledge on that podcast as well. We just say we review the book. We talk about our thoughts on it and the thoughts on the points that were made about what free will is and if it does not exist.
That sounds very related to Westworld.
Very much related, and it just happens to go down right after the finale.
Huh.
Weird. Funny how that works.
Yeah, it's weird that happened like that.
And then I'm Connor Wanders, CONNERWANDERS on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find me on Pinterest. I have some sick boards.
Tweet at us, DM us, leave comments. We will respond to you. I am at Jared Borislow on everything. Ross is at Jared Borislow on everything.
Don't do it, Jared. I knew you were going to try to make a stupid fucking joke. At W.R. Bolin. You were going to say like at Rick Balters.
No, I would not have done that. At Friesel Motor on Twitter. At Friesel Motor Functions on Instagram. Go buy the Dream shirt.
Good luck this Sunday, everyone.
Dream on.
Yeah, good
luck
everybody.
To all of us.
No PR style sign off. We'll save that for later.
You know?
It's a special episode.
Substock.
Substock.